Welcome to the Thursday show. You're about to get coordinated. You're going to hear from Charlie Weiss and Glenn Spencer on this week's game, how things are going at practice, the crowd noise, which I can attest to walking by the practice fields at the Morsani Complex. It's a little distracting, but that's kind of the whole idea. And you'll hear shortly here the offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss, say how loud they think the crowd is going to be and how he thinks a freshman quarterback can handle all of that. We'll also tell you a little bit about what BYU has done so far this season. It has been pretty impressive. If you hadn't noticed, it was before our show started on Thursday. We'll sprinkle it throughout the next couple of days. The second half of that last meeting between the teams in 2019, Jaren Hall played in that game, and of course now he has ascended to starting quarterback status for the Bulls, who won that contest, only playing the second half because, again, the first half, just really not worth much listening to. It was 16-7. We actually throw in the 7 points, the long touchdown pass from Jordan McLeod to Mitch Wilcox on the little intro to that replay. We'll also, in our second segment, hear from a couple of key members of the men's tennis team, which is getting set for its fall season, Chase Ferguson and Rithik Bolapalli. We also have some other news to pass along to you. There are 19 different teams at USF, and one that's kind of off campus is the sailing team, and I didn't realize this until I read it on GoUSFBulls.com. They have sailed to number one in their conference. That would be the SAISA Conference, the South Division. It's the, by the way, SAISA stands for South Atlantic Intercollegiate Sailing Association. Good stuff on how they opened their season well, who they're ranked ahead of, and some members on the team. And I promise to try and get out to a sailing event this year. There are going to be opportunities to do that. But until then, we'll let you know what's going on with the team. Also cool to see the men's basketball Twitter page starting to put out some get to know, which is going to be very valuable this year with the men's basketball team. Again, Brian Gregory will be speaking next Tuesday on the first day of official practice. We'll also have a chance to witness it ourselves. Javon Green happens to be one of the guys that I've spoken with already, so even though I've gotten to meet him, I think you'll enjoy the videos, and this is going to be a guy I think is going to be a starter for the Bulls, as they definitely have a bunch of shooters. It's going to be interesting to see who kind of emerges as scoring options in the front court, which to my eyes anyway seems to be the issue that will have to get sorted out here as we get closer to the season. And again, the non-conference schedule is released. It'll all begin at the Yingling Center on Tuesday night, November the 9th, both the men and the women in action. We look forward to, of course, bringing you that on USF Bulls Unlimited. Speaking of GoUSFBulls.com, the latest work by Joey Johnston, outstanding profile of Jaren Mangum. He's able to really get more in-depth with these articles, and you learn more about than just their football background, even though the football background is pretty big, with his father having 3 sons in the college game. And also, didn't realize this, but his father was a big-time football player himself at Bowling Green in the early 90s, 21-3 over 2 seasons, winning the MAC a couple of times there. Also, just so happens that Jaren Mangum isn't just an okay cook. The transfer running back from Colorado can really lay out an entire Cajun spread, so I'm going to have to work my way into that if it happens anytime here soon. But the whole history of going to Colorado, all freshman Pac-12, 441 yards in his first season. But then the coach, Mel Tucker, left to go to Michigan State, and his role significantly reduced. But it is something to see that he scored 3 touchdowns in that all freshman Pac-12 year. And of course, he scored that many in the game. But it also says that basically the Bulls contacted him right away when the transfer portal was starting to become such a big thing. Daniel DiPrato, the Bulls special teams coordinator, was on the staff when Mangum was at Colorado, and he also said, "I remembered Jeff Scott and Cam Akin from attending a football camp at Clemson. Good work there." I know that Joey has spent a lot of time with Timmy McLean's father on the phone, and that's a profile that's coming your way, and Brad Cecil as well is going to be a future guy that he takes a look at. All that work on GoUSFBulls.com. Yesterday on Zoom, it's funny, I record my pregame interviews with the coordinators. Again, I'm not going to be flying to Provo live just to do the pregame interviews, just to bust it open here in case you thought those were live interviews. They're not. We tape them in the week, and basically I sit down in the area where they're doing their Zoom calls, so I kind of know what they're talking about with the media. Some good questions in there on Wednesday, especially when it came to some stuff that you'll hear Glenn Spencer speak about. But most of the focus when it came to what Charlie Weiss was being asked about was crowd noise, starting off with what they've been doing in practice, and then following that up with the fact that, you know, you can scheme, hopefully, to get the crowd out of the game if it's at all possible.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, so many coaching points that go along with playing this. So we talked to, you know, several coaches who have played there, and, you know, pretty much the consistent thing is it's going to be as loud as you'll ever hear. So we've been preparing for it all week. So we've had crowd noise out at practice for our scout team periods to make sure we get used to hearing it, and it's been very loud. And so it's really important for the quarterback, you know, as he communicates the call to the offensive line and everybody else, running backs, tight ends, wideouts. He's got to be very loud, making sure that he gets the calls across. He's got to just do a great job of being very defined in his voice, and then doing a great job of having multiple cadences to be able to handle the noise. So you got to be able to be ready for that, just in case one cadence doesn't work, you have to have another one ready to go. So getting some things ready for that right there. It's obviously going to be a great challenge. But like I said, we've been practicing for it all week and hammering that home. We just got to have great communication across the entire offense in order to have a successful day. You know, you got to fit your game plan, number one. You know, what's your overall identity and you know, the things that you guys do best. And then two, how does that match versus their scheme and their players and their environment, all those different things. So we certainly want to come out and run the ball well. We've got to utilize our quick game and downfield shots like we've been doing. And like you said, I think the best thing to do is to have early down success, you know, because that crowd really gets ramped up on third downs. So making sure, you know, first, second down, we're doing a good job of executing, doing what we're supposed to do, not having negative plays on first and second down, staying out of those third long situations where they can pin their ears back, pass rush, and that crowd gets loud. So I think it's really, that's been the main emphasis for us, is staying ahead of the sticks and making sure we just execute our game plan.
Yeah, I've done the research talking to coaches from other teams. That's pretty interesting stuff. This BYU crowd has been amazing. 65,000 is their capacity. They had that in their second game against Utah. First game, you know, just 54,000, but sounds like it is going to be a hostile environment. And why not? This team has won 3 games in a row against Power 5 for the first time in school history, all Pac-12. All the games have been close, but BYU has basically controlled them all. In fact, they've not been behind in a game all year, so there's something to look forward to. Last week, the Cougars almost fell behind Arizona State. As you know, their running back, Tyler Algier, made an incredible play on what would have been a go-ahead pick six. Actually, Hall did not have a great game throwing the ball. They actually brought in the backup briefly in that one, but still, that's a top 20 team they beat the week before, a top 25 team, and now BYU itself has come up to number 15 in one poll and number 14 in the other. So, freshman quarterback, I'm sure the Cougar fans are licking their chops, ready to get loud and intimidate him. How does Charlie Weiss think that's going to go?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I think with Timmy from the time that I've been with him is, you know, nothing, you know, the external factors haven't really affected him so far. So obviously this is going to be a whole different, unique challenge. Playing at BYU is going to be the best, you know, away atmosphere I think that we'll play at so far. It's incredible atmosphere. It's going to be rowdy. Their fans do a great job. So he's got to make sure he's mentally prepared for that. But I'm very confident in Q's abilities and everything that he's done. You know, as a true freshman, he came in here in spring ball, you know, spring scrimmage number one, and went out there and lit it up. And then, you know, your fall camp scrimmages, first game of the season at NC State, going in there, you know, he made some mistakes for sure, which he's learned from. But he did a good job and did some very positive things, you know, against a really good NC State team, you know, at a really good environment, you know, playing at home against Florida. His second game of his career, you know, playing for most of that second half right there. So, you know, he's a freshman, but he obviously has had some good experiences to prepare him for this moment. It's definitely different when you're the starter. So you got to mentally prepare and be ready for that right there. But I have the full confidence in him. And I think he's been tested so far this season, and that'll continue on Saturday.
Now over to the defensive side, Glenn Spencer. Remember, when you're playing defense, the crowd's not going to be as loud, so he doesn't sound as concerned on his end.
I think it's big. You know, you kind of compare it to that opener up there at NC State. You know, it was a night game and first full crowd. You know, they had a long time. So, you know, our guys didn't back down. Doesn't mean we executed perfect, but I think they were – I don't think the moment was too big for them. That's kind of what you're getting at, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a – come down to getting off block and tackle. The distractions of the crowd, I think even for an away opponent, it gets you juiced up. You know, I think that's – they can play on that emotion of everybody's against me mentality just the way they can if they're at home in a big crowd. It's for me. Yeah, I think it could work both ways.
Bulls will be facing a pretty balanced attack this week in BYU. Algier doesn't just strip the ball away from would-be pick six on the other team. He has run the ball for about 85 yards a game.
I will say this, that I think you're dead on. They're the most complete offense that we've faced, you know, as far as having length and athletic tight ends. They can shift out and give you mismatches there. And they can go 12 personnel and it could be 10 looks, if you know what I mean, you know. So that causes a lot of issues. So you have to kind of get big people and all of a sudden they spread you out. He's good, you know. I was telling my guys earlier the week in the scouting report, he reminds me of Baker Mayfield, the way he can deal the ball and the way he can run around and escape. And you saw that game last week, Arizona State. He's running and he's not trying to slide. He's not tapping out. He's putting his shoulder down. And he's tough now. I saw them really, really strike him a few times, slam him to the rug, and he just kept getting up. So I respect him a lot. And then also you see the deep balls where he has a touch. You know, he can throw the back shoulder. He can put it off outside the red line on the deep balls, right on the money. So got our hands full. You better have a couple different looks for him for sure. Sometimes you might, you know, you have to play coverage. You have to disguise some stuff. It makes you a little weaker in the run game. All of a sudden you want to dial it up and be Higgory against the run, and he's got the ability to see that and to go to his one-on-one. So it'll be a little of everything.
And here's his answer to that good question I mentioned before from Will Turner, who covers the team, about how Day-Day Evans has really put up some lockdown numbers, but mostly against shorter receivers. The targets for the taller guys have been more successful for the opponents. We know that Day-Day, along with TJ Robinson, have been playing a lot of snaps. So how close is he to taking that next step up?
Well, he's definitely got the ability to do it, and I think he will. You know, just somebody has a bigger reach than you. And I mean, that one third down against FAMU, they're late. The blitz came free, quarterback threw it sooner than he wanted to, and just kind of threw it up, and the receiver just was 6'5", and he made an unbelievable out-of-radius catch. The only thing you can do there, they got to rake and be violent on the pocket, violent on the arms, you know, when the ball's coming down. He just mistimed that a little bit. Well, he made some really good plays. You know, he had two double moves, and technique was good, and he stayed right on top of it. Those guys, they're on an island the whole night. We all know that. Sometimes I put that on the rush. If the rush is supposed to get there and it doesn't. But, yes, you teach them, you show them, hey, guy might out jump you for the ball, but until he comes down with it, you have a chance to get it out. So, you know, that phase with him, he'll get some of those out, and he'll get his share of knockouts too.
Tomorrow's show, you'll hear a little bit more from Jeff Scott on the opponent. We'll also give you the game plan for our pregame show. The kickoff will actually be at 10:20. It's going to be a late night. This is a ESPN2 game with BYU being ranked so highly now. I mentioned beating three back-to-back-to-back opponents as far as Power 5 for the first time in school history. As far as just in a season, it has not happened since 1984 for BYU. So they're feeling like, hey, unranked Bulls, this should be no problem. It is going to be a nationally televised game, longer break. So be planning on staying up late if you're going to listen to a Bulls victory this weekend. It'll go into Sunday early morning, that is for sure. Coming up next, a little men's tennis. Chase Ferguson and Ridlick Bolapalli. Stay tuned.